Wonder Woman opened with a punch this weekend. The film took it over $100 million at the box office, the biggest opening ever for a female director, Patty Jenkins, one of the best-reviewed superhero films of all time. Wonder Woman, the comic character, was given her superpowers by the Greek gods, but she was drawn by artist Harry G. Peter and created by psychologist William Moulton Marston,
who said that he created her as psychological propaganda for the new type of woman I believe should rule the world.
That's the applause line there.
And then it gets weird.
That's historian Jill Lepore, who wrote the 2015 book, The Secret History of Wonder Woman.
Could I have your attention?
We sat down last week at the elegant Massachusetts Historical Society dinner gala at the John F. Kennedy Library in Boston to talk about a range of things. But I wanted you to hear the story of Wonder Woman because it's also the story of a wondrous historian who also has superpowers of investigation. Our cast of characters, Dr. William Moulton Marston, he created the female superhero Wonder Woman. But Marston secretly had both a wife, Elizabeth Holloway, and a mistress, Olive Byrne, all living together. To each his own, but what's really interesting, Olive Byrne, the mistress, was also the niece of Margaret Sanger, the revered feminist and birth control pioneer, who was close to the family. And, well, let's let Jill Lepore give you the headline.
Wonder Woman is Margaret Sanger. This just was a family secret that was greatly hidden. So it was a few years back. I completely fell into the story, and I just could not claw my way out. It was like at the beginning, at the bottom of a well. I had an assignment from The New Yorker. This was in 2011, during the Republican primary season, where all the GOP candidates were asked to sign a pro-life pledge that if they were elected, they would defund Planned Parenthood. And I was asked to write a piece about the history of Planned Parenthood, and I did reporting things that you would do. I went to the birth control clinic in Brooklyn, which is the site of the first birth control clinic in the United States. I went to some rallies, and, you know, I did just kind of beat reporting things. What I bring to The New Yorker is that I'm a historian, and I am just what historians call an archive rat. Like, I just love being in an archive. So I went to Smith, which has Margaret Sanger's papers. Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. She found it in 1916, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boxes. And I'm paging through these things. But meanwhile, at the same time I was working on this journalistic piece for The New Yorker about Planned Parenthood, I had agreed to write a scholarly paper for the Yale Law School on the history of evidence. And I wanted to write about the origins of the lie detector. So it turns out the guy who invented the lie detector invented it at Harvard. And his name was William Moulton Marston. And at the time, William Moulton Marston's Wikipedia entry was like, William Moulton Marston invented the lie detector in 1913 when he was a Harvard sophomore. And in 1941, he created Wonder Woman. Meanwhile, he was married to two women, Elizabeth Holloway Marston, who was his wife, and Olive Byrne, who was their mistress, and they raised four children together. Period. And they're like under references and external links, like blank.
How had nobody noticed this before?
But you couldn't find anything more about him. And a lot of people had knocked at the door of the family, the literary executor of the state, who is a retired obstetrician in Florida, and who has the names of each of his three parents. His name is Byrne Holloway Marston, after his mother, and his father. And I wrote to him, but when I was at Smith in the Planned Parenthood papers, I kept finding letters from people in Marston's family to Margaret Sanger and about Planned Parenthood, because when Margaret Sanger opened the first birth control clinic in New York in 1916, she did so with her sister, who was also a nurse, who was Ethel Byrne, who was Olive Byrne's mother. And Olive
Byrne, the mistress
of the guy who created Wonder Woman. And Olive Byrne, when she grew up, became Margaret Sanger's personal secretary and also handled her estate and sorted through her papers. So I got completely obsessed with this weird coincidence of families, and I went in to see the curator at the archives. And I was trying to be sneaky, because I had found something out really great, but I didn't really want her to know. But Smith also had the papers of Gloria Steinem and Ms. Magazine. And Gloria Steinem, when Ms. Magazine started in 1972, on the cover of the first issue was Wonder Woman. But the Steinem papers and the Ms. Magazine papers were not yet cataloged. So they were just in the boxes in which they came, which were like Gloria Steinem's shoeboxes. So I went in to see the curator, because curators always know the collections when they're cataloging. And I sat down with this woman named Maida, and I had a little piece of paper. And I said, as you know, I'm here writing a piece on Planned Parenthood. Yes, yes, yes. But I thought I'd look at the Steinem and Ms. Magazine papers, but I'm looking only for correspondence with particular individuals. So if I give you the names of the people, can you just tell me what boxes to look in? Because there's no finding guide. And I said, well, Elizabeth Holloway Marston, she's box 42, folder 7. Okay, Olive Byrne, box 205, okay. Folder 1. Wonder Woman, and she looks at me, and she looks at her notes, and mine. She looks at my piece of paper, and she leaps out of her chair, and she well nigh screams, "Oh my God! Wonder Woman is Margaret Sanger!" Whereupon I leap out of my chair and say, "Shh." I was so upset. But like the only other person on the planet who would connect these things was the person who had cataloged the papers of Margaret Sanger and of Gloria Steinem.
And she hadn't yet connected it.
And she hadn't made the connection through these fairly obscure people from the Marston family.
Well, I mean, it is just so remarkable. One of the connections that is made, I just want to mention this one. Sanger likes to show women breaking out of chains. That's part of the message. You're going to break out of the chain of not having control of your own bodies. But Marston, he likes to show Wonder Woman in submission. She's like chained a lot, and to the point where the editors were kind of like, that's getting a little funny what you're doing. And he would say, oh, no, it's like, Margaret Sanger said they're breaking out of chains, but it kind of wasn't.
Yeah, it kind of wasn't. And I think we could very easily move outside the bounds of propriety in discussing the private life of William Moulton Marston. But what happened was, Marston said, I have created a woman who is an allegory for the emancipation of women. And this is in 1941. In every episode, she breaks out of her chains, which means that she has to be chained up in every episode, or roped, or hogtied, or bound and gagged. And so this is the forerunner of DC Comics. They start getting letters from soldiers at the front saying, can you have a little bit more of the chains, because I'm enjoying the red boots too. Can they be in more of the frames with the chains? And also the red bustier could be, meanwhile, the Catholic Church bans Wonder Woman for indecent exposure. But Marston keeps insisting to his editor at DC Comics, she's an allegory for the emancipation of women.
Like the two I have at home.
Like the two I have at home. So, exactly. One of whom raises the children and the other of whom earns all the money. Like, he has two wives to do everything. He doesn't really do very much. But, like, the thing is, that as a historian, I feel pretty strongly that unless you have direct evidence, you really shouldn't be inferring anything about people's private lives. That's it. I did have to sit down on a couch with Byrne Holloway Marston, this delightful, wonderful, genteel, retired obstetrician in Florida. Lovely man, incredibly generous, who did let me see the family papers, with incredible material that no one had ever seen before. Incredible, like, just so much fun. And I had to say to him, I'm wondering about the bondage in Wonder Woman, because people often think that it's a little autobiographical on the Pottery Father. And he says to me, do you mean, did the ladies tie him up? And I said, I'm afraid that I have, like, due diligence. I have to just ask you this question. And he said, not that I ever saw. But to Marston's argument, the iconography of the suffrage movement involved chains, because the suffragists had previously been abolitionists, and the iconography of abolitionism was the chained man breaking free of his chains. And when suffragists began fighting for the right to vote, they used that same iconography. Suffragists marched through the streets in chains. When suffrage cartoonists wrote about women's emancipation, they showed Amazonian women breaking free of their chains. Marston was just actually calling on the iconography that he'd grown up with. He'd grown up with suffragists. He'd seen this stuff. He had been a teenager in the 19-teens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Historian and New Yorker writer Jill Lepore at the Massachusetts Historical Society Gala at the John F. Kennedy Library in Boston last week. Her 2014 book is The Secret History of Wonder Woman. And by the way, on the New Yorker website, Jill says she found the new movie smart and charming, but it renders invisible, erases the fights women waged a century ago for representation, contraception, and equality. It's here and now.